speaking of Donna Miller this morning, I have been told that Donna Miller, during one of Pastor Clark's sermons, got to situations where she would look at Pastor Clark and go, she's missed her love for music, and I wonder how much she likes those songs that we sing. Anyway, it is awesome to be here, and I'm going to ask you, Mr. Bob Walter, to scroll through these slides. I have a couple slides, so you're allowed to do this to me if you want, or you can throw a Hershey Kiss at me if you have one. That works too. So, okay, one of my favorite professors in my seminary training was Dr. Michael Peterson. He was the chair of the philosophy department, and what he really emphasized a lot is science and faith. Science and faith. That really, we the people of God should embrace science. They complement each other. They don't conflict if we understand each of the purpose of each one of those, science and faith. Well, as you look at the text today, I believe that we're going to be challenged a little bit. But I think it will encourage us in our faith as we look. But I think we're going to be challenged. And I'm going to show you how, but let's first say a brief prayer. Father, thank you for the worship we've experienced so far. May everything that takes place in this service honor and glorify Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the words that I speak, Father, as imperfect as they are, touch hearts and encourage. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the text, I decided to preach from the 1 Corinthians text that Felicia read from. And what I want to do is I want to briefly step through these verses and really kind of give you a core understanding of what's taking place here. And then I really have only one major sermon point. Now, I'm going to break it into 9 components. No, I'm kidding. This guy likes to give me sermon feedback, by the way. He'll say to me almost every sermon, Eric, if I want a theology lesson, I'll sign up for a systematic theology class at the seminary. Make sure what you're saying is relevant and applicable. So I encourage his encouragements on that. Well, let's get into this text. I'm not going to belabor it too long, but let's get into it here. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to know what is Paul's most extensive treatment on the topic of our resurrection, then you're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is where Paul discusses at length, and I think it's very relevant. So let's go to verse 12 here. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is, 13, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So apparently what has been taking place in the church at Corinth, there were some type of false teachers that were denying the physical resurrection that we, well, the people of God will experience. And likely that society was steeped in some type of Greek philosophy. And it could be that maybe even scientific objections to a certain degree of somebody, a body, being raised from the dead. We can see why that's a challenge, right? I remember when my father passed away, he had cancer, and I stayed with him the night before he passed away, and I prayed, you know, for God to do something miraculous, but I kind of saw what was happening, and I left, and my mom called me about an hour and a half later and said, we lost him, and I came back over. So I saw him in the last few moments of his life, and then I saw him passed away. And we've seen, most of us have seen a dead body. It's not an enjoyable experience. It's filled with sadness and a sense of despair in many situations. But we can see why saying that that person will be resurrected. So we can see why we as humans could be susceptible to that type of teaching without our understanding of the gospel, without the understanding of what Paul says about this topic. So some have been instigating this and have been teaching this. 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Verse 15, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. So Paul is saying, essentially, I'm going to blow at that. Paul's saying, oh, so some of you who I taught, Paul's saying, and it was preached in your church that we will, as the people of God, we will die, but we will be raised again. We will experience resurrection as a reality. And if some of you are teaching something contrary and you're buying it, and you're going to go down that path, then what that means is you have to keep going. Because if we're not going to be raised, then Jesus wasn't raised, Paul's saying. Paul begins to unravel their argument, and he really starts piling it on. He goes, so, if we are not raised, then Jesus wasn't raised, and you know what? All that preaching that has been done, and all the other apostles and teachers who throughout the Mediterranean region were preaching the gospel, and were preaching this specific teaching of the resurrection of the people of God, it's all been false teaching. If that's true, it's all been false teaching. And a matter of fact, Paul's saying, well, then we're false teachers too. We're false teachers too. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Paul continues to pile it on. If you're going to go down that road and deny the physical resurrection of our bodies, then you're going down a bad trail. You will make us false teachers. Jesus wasn't even raised if you're going to hold to that. And you know what? All that hope that you had to deal with human sin hasn't been dealt with at all. You're still in your sin. Your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sin. To see what Paul does, it's clever. He says, if you're going to hold to that, then look how it unfolds in every area of faith. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep or perished, and if in Christ we hope in this life only, we of all people should be most pitied. He's really making his point. If, in fact, those who are holding on and teaching that and embracing that and propagating that teaching, that we don't raise, that we're not raised from the dead at the end of the age, out of all people, we should be most pitied. Because we invest so much in our faith. We invest our time and our hearts, and we invest our energy in our faith. And if that's just all a hoax, then we should be the most pitied all, because those people who aren't, those pagans who are going to the pagan temples or are teaching this, they're having a grand old time. They're choosing to do things that we're choosing not to do because we're living according to how Jesus wants us to live. We should be pitied the most of all people. But verse 20 says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall be made alive. The problem at Corinth, some in their midst began to propagate the teaching that the physical resurrection of the body was contrary to philosophy's view of matter and the body being evil, and to rid oneself of the body was the ultimate goal. That was a false teaching. Go ahead, Mom.
undercut this teaching by showing the domino effect that takes place when one denies the resurrection of our body.
If we deny that we will not be raised again, then we have to follow along and deny that Jesus was raised.
Wow.
The resurrection of the body is a crucial teaching, and our resurrection is tied to Jesus' resurrection. He was the first, and we will follow. This is, I think, if we think about it, is an incredibly important and practical point. Bob, is there one more slide? So here's my question to you. We talked about this. Is this in your DNA? Is this truth that we will...
Go forward. 6 of 6. The question before us is this part of your DNA is the hope of a future resurrection, a future resurrected body, something that permeates your very being. This is practical.
This is practical. Because we struggle. We see, I'm 58. Wow. 30 to 58 goes like that. I hope it slows down. Does it slow down?
Yeah.
Didn't take long to answer that. Where's mine? You know, we got these from a wedding. It's actually a pharmacy bottle. We won't need any pharmacists with a resurrected body. And that, is that a truth that you hold dear? That should be in our core as we deal with challenges of life. I'm scared about tomorrow, maybe you're thinking. I don't know if I'm going to make ends meet. I'm getting health issues as I'm getting older. Is this all there is? What do I say I believe? I say I believe in the resurrection. But does that pan out in your living? Do you hold on to that hope? Do you know how many ICD-10 codes there are? You know what an ICD-10, if I can say it, an ICD-10 code is? My wife and I have worked many, I think you did too, worked years and years and years in IT, doing healthcare. An ICD-10 code is a diagnostic code. So that's when you go to the doctor, or the nurse, the technician, whatever, and they diagnose you, they give you a diagnostic code of what is wrong with you. Can you guess how many? There was this thing called ICD-9, but after 17,000 different diagnoses, you know how many? That was 17,000. You know how many ICD-10 codes there are?
68,000.
And it's for insurance purposes. I wonder how many are just in COVID-19 to break that down. I think I'm going to close. This is the important thing. I believe God wants you and I to have this in our very fabric, this understanding of we will, in fact, despite fear, despite even struggles with doubt, despite all of that, we will absolutely, in fact, have a resurrected body one day. There's a really big event today. I don't know if you know that or not. What time is the puppy bowl on? As sure as there will be a football game played in Southern California, some of you are going to watch and eat snacks and all that, but as sure as that's going to take place, you will, in fact, and I will, in fact, have a resurrected body. And though we don't understand the science of all that, it is in our future. Thanks, because it happened to Jesus. He rose. And that's our pattern. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.